accession number 19599, reel 2.
Richard Hilder, reel 2.
I then was posted to the 26 Hussars in Nyara camp, about 40 miles or so from Pune. They consisted of the old 14 to 20 Hussars troops, plus drafts from England, from the Royal Armoured Corps, and drafts of officers from the Royal Armoured Corps. We were training to be an armoured regiment, but we had very little equipment, no tanks, in fact, precious little at all. We did our training in 1400 weight trucks on the Mayadan, and we were sent to Armanagar Fighting Vehicle School, where we were trained in the art of gunnery, wireless, tank training, etc.
What kind of tanks were these?
These were Lee tanks, General Lee, American tank.
What did you think of them?
Very good.
In what way?
They were a very efficient tank. They got 75mm guns, 37mm gun, and Browning machine guns. Good armour, and the tracks were very strong. In fact, they proved themselves in the Burma campaign to be very efficient. I'd never had any experience of them until I went to Armanagar. No, I think they were very good.
Do they have any drawbacks?
Not really.
What kind of men did you have in your unit at Armanagar?
They were Armoured Corps personnel from England, and the soldiers who had been drafted from the 1420th Hussars. They were mostly had been out some years and were subsequently repatriated, but so the people who ended up with us were wartime soldiers trained in England.
Were they mostly conscripts that you had?
No, not all conscripts, no.
What was their attitude towards being in India?
They accepted it the same as everybody else did with the war on. And
what happened after Ahmednagar?
Well, that was the courses we went on there. The 26 Hussars were kitted out eventually with Lee tanks, and we were held in readiness to go to be in the invasion of Italy with the, forgotten the name of the number of the armoured brigade we were in, but it had a bull as our badge, and we didn't go to Italy because we were disbanded. And the personnel was sent half to the 3rd Carbineers and half to the Chindits. I was in the lot that went to the Chindits with my troop.
How was it decided who should go to which?
I can't remember now. I think it was you, and you. Usually it is. So we went up to central province is somewhere near Jhansi on the Ken River, where we joined 14 Brigade of the Chindits. And told to train us. I was told to train my men as infantrymen, which I hadn't much experience of. And my troop, or my platoon, as they were subsequently called, were armoured corps, so that we had to start from square one. We had no vehicles, but everything was done with mules and ponies. So the truck drivers from the infantry regiments in 14 Brigade were made into muleteers. And some of the old 26 Hussars were made into muleteers. And we were issued with, I remember, 100 mules, which the brigadier told me that I must train, because I think he'd looked in my records and found that I'd been in the lifeguards, and he thought, just the boy for training mules. So not only did I have to try and get my platoon to become infantry, I also had to break in 100 mules. They were totally unbroken from the Argentine.
How do you train a mule?
You may well ask. But I had experience of breaking in horses with my father before the war. So I wasn't telling them I knew, but I did know how to break in a mule.
But what exactly do you do?
You have to get it into a frame of mind when it accepts a saddle and a bridle and a load on the saddle, and you've got to have them so they can march or go on long treks, and because everything was done by mule, everything was mule.
But how do you get them into this frame of mind?
With difficulty. A mule is a very, very obstinate animal, very good, though, once it's trained. And it was a very difficult thing to do, but I managed to get these. All except one were broken in. This mule was called Cushy. And I had with me, amongst the old 26 Hussars and some of the other regiments of the 14 Brigade, I've managed to gather unto me some fellows who understood horses and mules, and we formed a little team, and we sort of attacked this job in a systematic manner. And as soon as the mule was fairly quiet and had a saddle on, we had handed over to the muleteer, who was totally ignorant of what he was going to do, but we managed to get him schooled to look after the mule. But there was one man who was a gypsy, who was brilliant, and he took Cushy over, and it became one of the best. A great big mountain artillery mule, which carried the wireless sets for the Royal Air Force section of 14 Brigade.
But when you're breaking them in, do you hit them?
Oh, no, no, no. No, you must never hit a mule.
Why not?
Because they'll hit you if you do.
You mean kick
them? They'll strike back. Oh, you never hit them. No, you have to do it by cajoling and food. And I had a very good system. I had a hunting horn which I used, and when the feeds were going to be dished out, I used to blow my hunting horn and they'd have their food. Now, when it came to river crossing, which we had to swim them across rivers, I used to go in a boat and blow my hunting horn on the other side of the river, and they'd swim across for their feed. So that's the sort of way we trained them.
But what is this cajoling that you did?
What do
when
we,
you say you cajole?
Well, you have to get them in a frame of mind to accept a saddle and girth.
But do you talk to them?
Oh, yes, you have to talk to them, and do everything gradually. Rub them with a saddle and then slowly put the saddle on, move it about and keep talking to them. And then after a bit, just leave off and then carry on next day, a bit more, until eventually they'll accept the saddle, accept the bridle. And then eventually, when you've got them and take them, we used to take them on marches with their saddles on, so they were used to that. And then we'd put a load on, a small load, and then gradually built it up. It was some job, I can tell you.
What do you say to them then?
All sorts of things. Tell them how sweet they are. I wouldn't repeat what we say to them. You can imagine.
Sounds like a love affair.
Yes. They were very interesting animals to train.
And you just whisper this in their ear, do you?
Well, yes, talk to them. Always talk to them, and they accept the human voice, and yes.
Did you like them?
Oh, yes, brilliant. Brilliant animals. Brilliant animals. Well, I did train these mules, and then handed over this job to an infantry officer in 14 Brigade, animal transport officer. I often wonder why he couldn't have done that, but apparently he couldn't, and I had to.
Excuse me, could I just ask you a bit about this gypsy? Could you tell me more about him, please?
Oh, a fellow called Rayson. I don't know any more about him. I can't remember what became of him in the end.
Was he English? Gypsy?
Oh, yes, the Englishman, yes.
Where about in England did he come from?
I can't remember now. It's a long time ago. But he stands out in my mind.
Why was he so good with animals?
He was very good. He used to blow up their nose, I remember. He had some very strange things he did to them, which were known unto him only. He didn't used to impart much information to me, but he used to. I remember he was a brilliant man with mules.
And the mules didn't mind having their noses blown up.
Well, that's what they do. They do that to animals and make them. It's. I understand that's the way they do train their horses.
Did you have conversations with this gypsy?
Oh, yes, always talking. Oh, yes, of course we did, yes.
What did he tell you?
Well, I can't remember now, but I mean, we had conversations with everybody where the whole time was, we were...
But did he tell you anything about himself?
I can't remember now. Can't remember. No, I don't think so. I can't remember. I wasn't really... we were busy and... I can't remember now, it's a long time ago.
Was he a good soldier?
Well, very good, yes. He was a muleteer, one of the muleteers, yes.
Was he accepted by the other soldiers?
Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, we were all sorts. My platoon, which I joined the Chindits with, from B Squadron of the 26 Dragoons, they inadvertently won a shooting cup, which was fatal because they were then drafted to 16 Brigade of the Chindits, who were, they were marching into Burma. We were flown in, but they marched in to form the airstrips. And the brigadier said, they are such good chaps, you better form another platoon of 26 Hussars. So I had some more old 26 Hussars, which were posted to other regiments, sent to brigade headquarters, and we formed a second platoon No, we formed two more platoons. We had two platoons, and they were brigade platoons, and mostly all of them, not all of them, but mostly all of them were either 26 Hussars or Foresters. And and then we went in to Burma. With them, I was the platoon commander and had no more to do with the mules except to use them, you know.
And so, what was the number of your platoon?
Mine was, there were two platoons in brigade headquarters. We didn't have a number, it was just one of them.
So, it was the brigade headquarters of 14 Brigade.
14 Brigade, yes, platoon headquarters.
Brigade headquarters.
Yes.
What preparations did you have to make for going into Burma?
Well, we had to train marching, a lot of marching, river crossing, and a lot of firing, you know, gunnery.
What was the method of crossing the river?
We used to swim, and we'd wrap our equipment up in the ground sheet and float that in front of us with the rifle on top and push it across the river.
So all the men were swimmers.
We're swimming. Oh, you had to swim, yes.
So if a Chindit couldn't swim, did that mean to say that he was out?
No, he had to learn how to swim.
Say he couldn't learn.
He could learn.
He just had to.
He just had to learn. They all did. They all. Some of the men found it very difficult to swim, but we managed to teach each other swimming, and ended up good swimmers.
What kind of stroke did you use?
Anything, mostly breaststroke, of course. I mean, we got clothes and things on, and took our boots off usually, and swam across.
Can you describe the process of travelling to Burma, please?
Well, we left the Jhansi area by train, and went across India to Assam, wait a minute. Then at some juncture, we went on the meter gauge railway, which was a funny old railway, and let's see, I've forgotten which Irrawaddy and the Brahmaputra was. The Brahmaputra is between Assam and Burma, isn't it? And the Irrawaddy is in the
The
Rangoon's on the Irrawaddy, isn't it? Yes, that's right.
Brahmaputra is from Assam to Bengal.
Yes, that's right. So we went on the river steamer up the Brahmaputra and ended up in eventually in an American aerodrome where we were flown in. But it took a long time to get across.
Was it an eventful journey?
Very uneventful, I think. Very uneventful. Uncomfortable and boring, I think I'd put it down as.
What frame of mind were you in before you went into Burma? Nervous?
Not particularly, no, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. Can't remember now. I think apprehensive, possibly. I don't think we're nervous.
What kind of planes did you go in?
Dakotas.
And
We loaded the mules into the Dakotas, and there were the mules in crates, bamboo crates, at the front end of the Dakota, and the people used to sit, the soldiers would sit in the back part. And when we with difficulty we got the mules in, crated them up, and then we jumped them out when at the other end.
How did the mules take to flying?
Very well.
Was your flight uneventful?
No, it wasn't uneventful because we hit an air pocket, all the lights went out, and the Dakota rocked a bit, and they decided they'd fly back, and we'd fly in again next day. So we had all that performance all over again. So that was something of a drama.
What was the American pilots
like? Oh, brilliant. They'd got to fly over the Himalayas and land in a handmade airstrip in the middle of Burma somewhere. This was Aberdeen. We landed a place called Aberdeen, code name Aberdeen, and they landed on a handmade airstrip there. Turned round and came back again. They were very, very good pilots, very good.
Did you land at night or in daylight?
We landed at night.
Was it all lit up?
Oh, no, no. No, it wasn't, no. It was pretty basic. We'd been trained to be in the dark a lot, you see. We didn't have electric lights or anything like that ever.
What did Aberdeen look like?
It was just a clearing in the jungle. Paddy fields which had been levelled to make an airstrip. And otherwise just jungle.
And once you landed, what then?
Then we set off in the indoor direction, if I can remember rightly. And
the whole brigade?
Whole brigade. But you see, the different columns were split off, and our column, the brigade headquarter column, went off towards indoor. And I can't really remember where we passed through, but I remember that's where we went towards.
How many miles would you do a day?
Oh, very little. We used to travel at the rate of 2 mile an hour, and sometimes going through a thick jungle, we'd do very few miles. Sometimes it was mostly on jungle tracks. We had to avoid being behind the lines, of course. We had to avoid anything like roads. The Burma Rifles were contacts between us and the locals, the local Burmese. Well, they were the Kachins, actually. And they were very, very friendly to us, the local Kachins.
Would they do anything for you, or would you do anything for them?
Oh, yes. Brilliant people. Very brave.
Any exchange of anything?
I suppose so. I can't remember now. I think we used to carry some what they call bullion, which was money on us, which they used to, we'd just carry it, and then people were paid, I suppose. I don't quite know how that side of it went on.
Were you having to hack your way through?
Yeah. Cut our way through the jungle, along an old path. Sometimes a game path, sometimes a sort of footpath.
Was it dry season or monsoon?
It was coming onto the monsoon when we arrived, and it got steadily worse. And so it was sometimes very, very muddy by the time the column had passed. Very muddy. Bogged down we were.
Was it flat or on an incline?
No, never flat. It was always uphill or downhill. It was foothills of the Himalayas, I suppose, wasn't it? No, it wouldn't have been. Where were we? The Kachin Hills. Yes, the Kachin Hills we were. Kachin Tracks, I think they were called.
What kind of
mountainous country?
What kind of vegetation was it? What kind of plants?
Bamboo. And lot of bamboo, teak. What else? The usual sort of jungle, Burmese jungle plants.
Any particular problems with the plants?
With the plants? No, there were no problems, except we had to clear them to get the column by. You see, the mules had their loads, so we had to cut a swath through the jungle to enable the mules to get their loads through. And the leading platoon would do that, and so on.
How did the mules fare on the trek?
Very well, very well. They got a bit hungry at times and thirsty, as we all did, because we were only living on those K rations, and the mules had their fodder flown in and the airdrops, their corn, and then they'd eat the foliage for roughage, bamboo leaves and whatever.
What was in your K rations?
There were three packets of K rations. One was breakfast, and let's see, there was coffee, a small roll of loo paper, some sort of sucrose sweets, a little tin of things called chopped ham and eggs, a little tin. What else did we have? Oh, and a few biscuits. Then we had our lunch. Was, I think we had a packet of lemonade powder. And a packet of lemonade powder and some awful stuff called processed American cheese, which was absolutely disgusting. And again, a few biscuits. And the supper, we had a little packet of stuff called bouillon, or something like that, which was soup, which you put hot water with, and soup, and some other tin of something which I can't remember, and a few biscuits. It was very, very, very meagre.